Buffalo Bills Game Day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Let's just do it, okay?
Ready!
1, 2, 3!
Now, Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. Here's Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer.
Good morning, Bills fans. What's up?
Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR. We're getting you ready for a 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions. John Murphy and Mark Kelso calling the play-by-play from the Northwest broadcast booth. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. Derek, for those that are in the stadium today, what will they be looking at?
Well,
weather-wise, actually, of course.
It's not going to be bad by the time of kickoff. Like, there's going to be some spotty rain leading up to it, but nothing that bad. You know, or temperature around like mid to low 30s. But by kickoff, the rain should clear up, and then you're looking at possibly upper 40s, like 37. I mean, upper 30s, 37, 38 degrees, something like that. So nothing too bad there. I would say for a December home game, not bad, right?
Not bad.
Not bad. This weather, it's brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com today.
So if you didn't, if you just missed Derek's update, the news on LeSean McCoy via Adam Schefter, I'll just read the whole tweet here. LeSean McCoy listed as questionable for Sunday due to a hamstring injury, not expected to play versus the Lions per source. Bills also could be without Chris Ivory, who won't decide till pregame whether he can play with a shoulder injury. He's been dealing with that shoulder injury for a while. I think that started back maybe like the second or third game of the season. If Ivory can't go, Keith Ford and Marcus Murphy will be the Bills running backs. I to be honest, where we're at in this season, like they've been doing this with wide receiver, the Bills. They're at the point where it's all the young guys. It's no more Kelvin Benjamin. It's no more Andre Holmes. They're not even on the team. Andre Holmes was playing football for the Broncos last night. And it's McKenzie, and it's Foster, and it's Zay Jones. And running back, they've only really got one guy on the entire team, the entire organization like that. Because Ivory's a veteran, and McCoy's a veteran, and Murphy's even a veteran. And there's this Keith Ford guy that's been hanging out on the practice squad and did some nice things in the preseason. And, you know, could get an opportunity to play today. So I don't think it would necessarily be a bad thing or a terrible thing if they held McCoy and Ivory out because they weren't 100% healthy.
Yeah, and I guess really the biggest question we have to ask at the end of the day with this is, does it matter?
I can tell you this, fantasy purposes, there's nobody that had LeSean McCoy that's probably in their semifinals right
I'm
now.
I'm even talking...
You must have done that. But on the football side of it...
Yeah, like, does it matter at the end of the day here with how bad the running game is?
I don't think so.
Does it matter for the impact of Josh Allen if you're starting him in fantasy?
I don't think so.
Then this is almost a non-story, and that's how bad the running game and the run blocking has been this year.
I agree. And really, I wonder, from the little that I saw of Keith Ford in that preseason...
There's something that could matter, actually.
His style could maybe work, because if you think about who's been more effective this year, like what style's been more effective, it's been get through that hole as quickly as possible because it's probably not going to hold up for very long with that offensive line. So LeSean McCoy's running style has not really worked this year. Ivory's has worked at times. So I wonder if Ford, just being that downhill runner and just getting in that hole as quickly as possible and just going straight ahead could actually maybe work.
There is actually something that I realized and remembered about Keith Ford.
What?
In the preseason, what was one thing that you would remember? Like, if you remember anything about Keith Ford.
I think I remember pass protection being a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a major problem if Keith Ford has to get extended time here today, is that Josh Allen, who's already been running for his life far too much, may have to do more so of that or be put in a spot to possibly get banged up on a blitz.
I'm interested
because I remember Keith Ford. I said, look, he looks promising, but get him on the practice squad because he can't pass block for anything.
Maybe he's learned.
You better hope.
Learned.
Josh Allen better hope so.
He couldn't have gotten worse at it. Marcus Murphy, I mean, he's just kind of a guy.
You say these things, but...
Murphy, I mean, he'll probably get the start, even if this happens. I don't know how much of Keith Ford we would even see if both Ivory and McCoy can't play. Ivory, of course, is a game-time decision, it seems, at this point, so we shouldn't just assume that he's going to be out. How about this? If Chris Ivory does go, I'm in a league where he's in someone's lineup as of right now in a fantasy playoff semifinal. So, if LeSean McCoy really does not play, like the Schefter report indicates, and Chris Ivory does, is Chris Ivory somebody that you could look at in fantasy football and say he's worthy of a RB2 spot or worthy of a flex spot because McCoy is not playing?
Yeah, I mean, as Joe Beamer of WBN walks around and arms up in the air with his Bills sweatshirt on. Look, I think, though, that this team, I guess it really doesn't matter, like, what running back plays, because the fantasy impact of it all really doesn't matter in the long term of things. Josh Allen's probably going to get you running yards. He's probably not a bad spot start, again, when you're in the fantasy playoffs. And in the fantasy, like, this is, for some leagues, this is make or break week.
I mean, this is the semis.
Yeah, like.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, every week's make or break week. But there are some leagues where, like, championships are being decided today. It's not many, but there are some. And, again, like, Josh Allen and Bills receivers like Robert Foster or Zay Jones are potentially in lineups.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I had to start Deshaun Hamilton last night.
And how did that go?
It actually, it came out pretty well at the end.
Yes, unfortunately, an injury to Cortland Sutton. Sorry. To anyone that I suggested that play to.
Hamilton, 7 catches for 46 yards. I mean, it wasn't great, but I'll take it.
In a PPR format, that's salvageable.
Yeah. He was playing every snap even while Sutton was out there. Like, they're depleted at wide receiver, so you haven't heard of their wide receivers. So you probably, I mean, that was a little low-key start if you were looking at a guy like that. Ivory, what was the one game that McCoy didn't play this year? Was that Indianapolis?
Yes.
Yeah, Ivory in that game, 16 for 81, 3 catches for 25 for 12 fantasy points. So I don't know. I don't think that's unrealistic to expect if he were to go and McCoy is not. It's 16 for 81, I mean, this Detroit run defense has been super inconsistent all season. I kind of like the matchup. I don't know. I think that you could do worse. How about that? You could do worse, I think, than Ivory if he is the bell cow running back today.
Well, then put up the fantasy pros, because we'll play the better or worse thing for this, because I really would not put myself in a position. I wouldn't even want to put myself in a position to have to start Chris Ivory or, to an extent, LeSean McCoy if he were to play, for example.
He is currently at 48. But a lot of people have his ranking's a little skewed because there's a lot of people that have him ranked as though McCoy is playing, because McCoy is actually right behind him. And there are other people that have him ranked higher, like in the 30s, that are probably expecting to play. But we'll play it as though he's at 48. Darren Sproles or Chris Ivory?
I mean, just as untrustworthy as a Bills running back as an Eagles running back. But that's based on usage.
Yeah. I was gonna ask, is there anyone more untrustworthy than Bills running back? And you might have answered that. It might be Eagles running backs.
It might be Eagles running
backs.
You
have no idea who's getting the ball in that backfield.
There are four of them now that are...
Clement's hurt for the year. So
okay, so
there's three
of them. So it's back down to three. So maybe... Yeah. Actually, wasn't Clement the... kind? No, Smallwood's the pass-catching one.
I think they're both
kind of similar. In addition to Sproles.
Those two are similar.
Yeah.
They're not as good at it as Sproles.
Either way,
more of
the Eagles cannot be trusted.
So you're saying Ivory?
Yes, but I don't love it.
Ivory or Nyheim Hines?
I'd probably say Hines. He randomly has good games.
Chris Ivory or Zach Zenner?
I'm just going to pretend I know who that is
Chris
Ivory.
That's the Lions, Lions backup running back. He's been splitting a little bit with LeGarrette.
Oh, that's right, because Kerryon Johnson is out.
Yeah. But he's been splitting it with LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I'm gonna pretend I know who that was, and I'm gonna say
how about all three of the Detroit running backs are right here. So any of the Detroit running backs, Theo Riddick, LeGarrette Blount, Zach Zenner, they're all ranked ahead of Chris Ivory.
PPR, I would keep Riddick up there. Blount, like Ivory, is a touchdown dependent kind of player.
See, I would put Ivory over all of them because Ivory might have the backfield to himself if he plays. Those three, you know, are gonna split it up.
But Ivory's also banged up. So is he really going to have the backfield to himself?
Yeah, good point. Good point. The shoulder injury's there. How about Stephen Ridley?
Yes. We're talking a lot of garbage here, though.
It's a lot of backups.
Yeah.
Frank Gore.
I'd actually have Frank Gore over him because Miami seems to like him for some reason.
We're getting to the starters here. How about Adrian Peterson?
No. I'd have AP there.
I think he's going to have a dud today.
He could have a dud.
Almost anybody. I think he is a guaranteed less than 5 points today.
Than five?
At Jacksonville, they're starting Josh Johnson. Seriously, what are they going to do? They're going to hand it off to Peterson. He's going to get 2 yards at a time.
Oh, yeah. We'll ask Derrick Henry how Jacksonville's run defense is.
Okay, fine. Good counter. I have no comeback to that because that just happened.
Yeah,
that's
pump your brakes on less than five for him. I could see it, but I'm not guaranteeing it.
What have you liked from these Bills receivers in the past couple of weeks? I had a debate with a couple of buddies last night. We were kind of arguing like who has a brighter future between Zay Jones and Robert Foster. And you know, last week maybe I don't want to say it was the final straw, but it was another example of Zay Jones having some really inconsistent hands. I mean, every once in a while, he'll just get a perfect ball thrown right in his chest, just an easy pass, and he'll drop it. And he's not a guy that really seems to come down with tough catches. Foster, you know what? I haven't seen drop problems with him, and I'd say he's faster than Jones is. Is he bigger? They're similar size. I don't know. I think I like Robert Foster's physical skill set more than I like Zay Jones. I might rank, if I had to think like long term, what Bills receiver am I more excited about? I think I'm seeing Robert Foster.
The funny thing is over the last four games, I feel like Robert Foster's been more consistent on the stat line.
Yes.
Furthermore, yeah, because with Zay Jones, the last 4 weeks, he has either destroyed you or destroyed your opponent, and there is no in between.
Yeah, Foster in the last four games, I'll start with week 10 against the Jets, 3 for 105, 2 for 94 and a touchdown, 1 for 27, 7 for 104 last week. Zay Jones, in the meantime, he's had some big games too in that same time period, 8 for 93 and a touchdown, 0 for 0 against Jacksonville, 4 for 67 and 2 touchdowns against Miami, and then 3 for 22 against the Jets.
And what you point out is, 2 weeks ago, Robert Foster had the dud. But every other week, Zay Jones had the dud.
He'd never had a goose egg, though.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, those other three games that Foster's had, those are solid wide receiver two numbers.
7 for 104. That's wide receiver one numbers.
Throughout that stretch, though, you can count on that. And I think today, you can count on Robert Foster. The Lions are susceptible to big plays in the air. So while Zay Jones gets the wide receiver one treatment, Darius Slay is not a corner to go ahead and scoff about. Robert Foster might be the best Bills receiver to play in a flex position here today. And I'm going to say do it.
Do it. Really?
Yes. I'm not putting the Joe DiBiase stamp of guaranteed approval, but I am going to say you had Keenan Allen or Cortland Sutton, and those guys put up a dud for you.
Yeah.
You might need the services of a Robert Foster today.
Yeah, you might. The boomer bust kind of play. I don't even want to say he's boomer bust, though. But he's getting targets.
He's got a better floor than boomer bust, but he can give you the boom.
Right. This isn't like Robbie Anderson yesterday would have said his boomer bust, but he actually ended up having a nice day for the Jets
and
again.
Funny thing is, Zay Jones, we base it off the trends every other week. He was on 4 games ago, then 3 games ago it was nothing, then 2 games ago he was on, then last week it was nothing. So guess what? This week it should mean the spike in valley should go up back to the high point.
I got some trivia for you. Can you name, without a mistake, the three passers that have completed a pass to Robert Foster this year?
I mean, probably not, but I'm going to go with, obviously, Josh Allen in that one. I will also go with Matt Barkley.
How about this? When Allen throws to Foster this year, he's 12 of 23 for 255 and a touchdown. No picks.
Not bad. And
106 rating when Josh Allen throws towards Robert Foster.
Peterman or Anderson? I'm going to guess Peterman was the third.
Who did you say, Barkley?
Yeah.
Barkley was 2 of 3 for 90 throwing Foster's way.
Including the game's first play against the Jets.
And it's neither Anderson or Peterman.
Oh my God, it was Logan Thomas. You set me up
for 15 yards and a 118 quarterback rating for Logan Thomas. Everyone loves
throwing. You totally set me up to fail on that.
Foster didn't play with Peterman, I don't think. He was on the practice squad. He got demoted when Peterman took back
over. I thought he was in the lineup with the Bears game.
Maybe he was.
And it didn't matter because Nathan Peterman threw to the Bears.
Yeah, maybe. Realistically, though, if you're looking in your semi lineup tonight or today, try to stay away if you can from the Bills receivers. But you might be in a spot where you have to look that way.
I would not say stay away from them.
I mean,
they've been productive lately,
but they've been inconsistent. They're still not. I'm still not ready to say they're just bona fide. You got to start them every week.
Robert Foster's a flex play today. As I said, Detroit gives up big plays almost routinely, and Robert Foster is that. Zay Jones is getting the wide receiver one treatment from Darius Slay. That means that that's their best corner on Zay Jones.
Robert Foster's ranked 52nd. Robert Foster, David Moore from Seattle.
Both are the same thing. Those guys are both the same thing. They can put up a big game for you, but it's going to be big play dependent.
Foster or Mohamed Sanu?
I'd probably go Foster.
Foster or Doug Baldwin? Who seems like he's going to play.
I'd probably go Baldwin.
There's Zay Jones at 46.
I'd go Foster over
Baldwin
Zay Jones.
Baldwin has been bad all year. Just a bad season for him.
It's been an injury-riddled one
for him. I dropped him, actually, in a 12-team league the other day. Foster or Randall Cobb?
I'd probably go Foster. I mean, the Green Bay receivers have been very underwhelming.
Golden Tate?
Yes. Golden Tate's been terrible since being traded to Philly. Look at that. Philly not being able to be trusted.
How about Kenny Stills? Taylor Gabriel? So a lot of these guys played yesterday.
Yeah, I'd probably draw the line there.
Right about there.
But that means that Robert Foster? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a low-end flex play. That makes it. That makes it.
Yeah.
Fantasy semis. Odell Beckham killed some people.
Exactly,
this week,
and he's going to do it again this week, so be ready.
And honestly, Foster is available in 97% of ESPN leagues.
Yes, get him. Like,
No one's on to this.
Trust me on this. When I say this, you're going out on a limb. I'm not going ahead and saying that Robert Foster is going to light up the Lions here, but I am going to say that if you're in a bad spot, you have to do something. This is considered as something.
Adam Schefter reported early this morning that Matthew Stafford, although questionable, is expected to play against the Bills. I don't think there's much of a surprise there.
Good.
Good. Why? Did you not want a Matt Castle revenge game?
I mean, it's just that Stafford's just been a disaster.
Yeah, he's been very porous this year. I wanted to ask you about him. He's not quite the group I always talk about, which is the Tannehill, Dalton, Derek Carr group. I don't think he's quite there, but he's also not one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. He kind of falls in between. So I don't know. Like, what do you think of Matthew Stafford? This is, I think, clearly been his worst season so far.
Oh, easily it is.
Except for those, like, the very early years where he just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, probably his rookie year.
Remember how injury prone he was to start his career? Like, he's not that anymore, but this is... It's been rough for Matthew Stafford in Detroit. He's lost all his receivers. Golden Tate was traded. Marvin Jones got injured. Kenny Galladay has just been a ghost for the past few weeks. He lost his tight end, Eric Ebron, who's suddenly scoring like 1,000 touchdowns with the Colts. He lost his rookie running back, who was playing well from earlier in the season. So he's not getting a lot of help, I would say, right now. Plus, his head coach doesn't seem to know much of anything on offense. But... he's overcome all of that before in his career. This year, like, what's the difference? Why is he not overcoming it this year?
It really just comes
stats
to...
stats-wise, at least.
It comes down to him at this point, I would say. And he's made bad decisions. He has been rather reckless with the football. And, look, it's just chalk it up to being one of those kinds of years for Matthew Stafford.
2 touchdowns in his last 4 games. 3 interceptions. Like, that's not Matthew Stafford numbers.
No.
Matthew Stafford's usually the guy that puts up big numbers, and you have to step back and say, yeah, but is he really that good? Then no, he's not even putting up those stats this year. He's putting up bad stats, and now there's, like, no argument for him as one of the top quarterbacks of the league.
If you had him to start your fantasy season, right now, he torpedoed you.
Yeah, he's had 20 points in a fantasy game since week four. Plus, there was that week one game against the Jets, which I might have even said would have been a good matchup for him at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he threw four interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I started one of my teams with him, and I won my game somehow, but like I started the season with Matthew Stafford doing that, and I'm like, dude, I mean, you're killing me here.
Last week against Arizona, one of the worst teams in the league, 101 yards, nothing else. Like,
it, what?
That was it. Arizona is actually, if you look at like the fantasy numbers, they've been, you would think they've been very good against playing opposing fantasy quarterbacks, but I'm pretty sure that number is skewed just by them being down all the time and the teams run the ball against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think teams have to throw very much, but the Lions were, it was like 3-0 at the half in that game.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah, it was a different scenario. So the Bills' defense is tough, too. Like, there is no team that's in a meaningful game right now.
Oh, and they might be
Stafford.
Missing both of their starting tackles.
Really?
Rick Wagner's out. Taylor Decker is questionable.
Not good. And like we said a little bit ago when we were playing the rankings game with Chris Ivory, their running back backfield is split between three right now. Theo Riddick with the passing downs, LeGarrette Blount with the short yardage stuff, and then Zach Zenner mixes his way in and steals from everybody.
I would say Riddick is probably your most consistent contribution here if you have one of them.
Bills have done a good job against the run this year.
Against the
run,
yes.
Especially compared to last year.
Against the run, that's why I say Riddick, because Riddick is your pass catcher almost exclusively.
Since Kerryon Johnson went out with injury, 9.5, 7.3, 7.8 are the fantasy days for Theo Riddick. And then almost all of that's come in the passing game.
Yeah, they don't hand him the football.
Yeah, so I'd be okay. At PPR league, this is standard, by the way, those numbers were. So PPR league, I think you can roll him out there, but other than that, I don't know if there's another Detroit Lion that I'd play.
No. Like you said, Galladay's been a ghost.
So, that being said, maybe you're onto something. Maybe Robert Foster is the most appealing flex option between running back and receiver of both of these teams today.
Yeah. And again,
I might put Ivory over him, but I, like I said, I'm fine with putting Foster.
I mean, I would rather
put Ivory played, of course.
Between Ivory and Foster, and I'm easily going with Foster because I know the passing game is actually going to do something today. Whereas the running game literally is Josh Allen.
Yeah, it really is.
So I'm leaning toward Robert Foster there because I know that there's going to be something that happens in the passing game.
803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get your fantasy questions in before we get to rapid fire later. Let's sneak one in before we go to the break. Let's go to Larry in South Florida. Larry, you are on Breakfast with the Bills. What's up?
Hey, fellas. How you doing this morning?
Good. How about you?
Great, thanks. Before I get into my two quick fantasy questions, how about Jack Eichel? He is unbelievable.
Yo.
That goal last night, dude. It was, you know, do you know how hard it was to not just start talking about that goal right to start the show? It was unbelievable.
You want to talk about fantasy? That's fantasy right there.
Yeah, that was, he's legit, obviously. We knew that when they drafted him, but he's becoming a superstar right before our eyes. It is something else to see, but my two fantasy questions. I'm the number one seed. I'm 11-2 in this one league, and I started Kelce and Mahomes, and they only got me 31. I left Ben on the bench, and I got Gurley. But my second running back, I got to decide between Yeldon, Mack, and Dixon. I had Mack, but I just put Dixon in. I don't know what to do. And then in my keeper league, I was offered I inherited a bad team. And I was just offered a trade, Deion Lewis for Zay Jones. My original gut was no, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that, fellas.
Zay Jones for Deion Lewis in a keeper league? You were offered that?
Yeah, I was offered that in the keeper league. And I said no. I'll give him I have Rodgers and Tywan Taylor, and I'd rather get rid of one of those two.
Okay.
I think something's going on with Allen and Jones. I mean, like, I would like to get Foster, but my best friend picked up Foster.
Yeah, no, I think you were right to pass on that trade. Larry, thanks for the call. I think you were right to pass on that trade. I would rather have Jones. I've never been a Deion Lewis fan, and I've never been a fan of anything that happens in the Tennessee offense.
As for the running back question.
For the running back question.
Huh. I mean,
I think I'd go Marlon Mack.
Yeah, I'd probably go Marlon Mack based on the strength of he is the number one back in Indianapolis.
Like, he's looked good. He's not getting a lot of volume because there's been a bit of a split there, at least in the past few weeks. But he hasn't killed you. He's been okay.
That is very true.
I actually have him in a league. I'm not playing him this week because I was able to pick up Jalen Samuels. But, I mean, look, since Marlon Mack got healthy, I think Marlon Mack's the answer here. Since Marlon Mack got healthy in week six, listen to his carry numbers by game. 12, 19, 25, 12, 16, 15, 8, 14. He gets his carries at the very least, and he's the only guy that scores rushing touchdowns. Really, what you're not getting, which I think is a bit of a surprise, because he was kind of a passing down back coming into the NFL, he's not getting any of that. It's all Nyheim Hines. He hasn't passed two catches in a game yet this season. So the only risk about playing Mack is he's either got to have an amazing day running the football, or he's got to find the end zone.
Yeah.
And Dallas, I mean, those linebackers, I don't want to just assume that he's going to have a great day running the football.
Oh, yeah, no. Dallas actually has a legitimate defense on them. So, Joe.
Van Der Esch.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Monday.
Yes, and it's a Buffalo Bills football Monday, presented by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. Howard and Jeremy, they break down the game in the morning. Then, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker at noon. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock, featuring Kyle Williams at 4:30. Always a good listen. Sean McDermott at 5 o'clock. And then Monday Night Football, the Saints and the Panthers. Ooh, well, if Carolina could actually get back on track, that would be pretty enticing. Buffalo Bills football Monday. It's all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
We will go around the NFL next. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer, Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style right here on WGR.
Build that confidence within the entire room. Get guys reps up. Guys are stepping up though and making plays. Just utilizing guys in different ways to the best of their ability to get them the ball. You know, such as Rob and Isaiah and myself. So, I mean, we're a young group, but a talented group.
Bills wide receiver Zay Jones. Welcome back to Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style. We're getting you ready for a 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions. Today's game is proudly presented by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. And tonight on WGR, it's the Chargers at the Chiefs. No, that's Thursday Night Football. We'll get you to Sunday night in just a second.
Oh,
the Sunday
man.
Schedule was all screwed up, so we're still trying to fix that. Let's go around the NFL now, with starting with the 1 o'clock games, the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears.
How many times is the script going to betray us?
Bears are favored by 5 in this game. It's an over-under of 46.5. Aaron Jones has been, I think, running back 3. Since he took over the starting job there on the season. He hasn't had really a bad game yet. I don't know if I want to assume that's going to continue, though, because Chicago's defense, top 5 in the league against running backs.
Yeah, and Chicago is not just good against the run. They are just a great defense overall. When you can corral the Rams, that's not an easy task. So you might have to beware, because Aaron Jones, fantastic, but at the same time,
be bear.
Yeah. Oh, be.
I'm sorry.
I'm leaving.
It's just
I'm
so leaving. Bad. We talked a little bit about Randall Cobb. You said you'd rather play Zay Jones or Robert Foster over a guy like Randall Cobb.
Yes.
What about, though, really, like, the question with Devontae Adams, is there anybody that is more reliable to find the end zone than Devontae Adams? I feel like he has a touchdown every game this year.
I feel like there's an answer for this. Probably Todd Gurley is the more reliable one.
Well, how about a wide receiver?
A wide receiver? I mean,
Adams has scored a touchdown in all but 3 games this year.
I would probably have
pretty
said
good.
I would have probably have said Tyreek Hill.
In fact, honestly, Tyreek Hill's number one fantasy receiver on the year, and Adams will catch him. He should catch him today. For the number one receiver in fantasy football. So he's had a hell of a season.
I mean, Devontae Adams. Hey, something happens when you got that Aaron Rodgers guy.
Did you start Jordan Howard today?
No.
Just no?
No, I mean, I don't trust the workload that he's gotten throughout this season.
Okay. I agree. Tampa Bay at Baltimore. The Ravens are favored by 8 in this one at home. 46.5 point over under. Lamar Jackson starting to creep his way into fantasy lineups. His ownership percentage is above 50 now.
I would honestly have Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson still at this moment because the passing game is a little more sturdy with him than it is with Jackson. And, I mean, Jackson's only played, what, three games? He's 3-1.
This is his fourth?
Yeah. This is only his fourth game as a quarterback for Baltimore this season. Right. So...
He's played a lot as a gadget player who
they didn't let throw the football with the gadget play. So Tampa Bay has kind of shored things up defensively a little bit as of late, but Jackson could be a steady play here, a sneaky play if you have problems at quarterback.
Peyton Barber, if you're desperate and looking for guys, he's low-key actually not been terrible in fantasy. I don't think he's a good player at all.
Yes, but he's running into a Baltimore defense that's steady against the run.
Yeah, we will just start Peyton Barber or Gus Edwards?
Gus Edwards. I'm not saying that with hesitation.
I'd go Barber. Well, good thing no one's had that question so far.
Yeah,
Arizona.
If you had that question, congrats on getting to the semis. Take your third place money and go home.
Well, you might have gotten Gus Edwards late in the year, like on waivers or something.
Still, take your third place money and go home.
Arizona at Atlanta. Atlanta favored by 9.5 in this one. Arizona, again, no respect. 9.5-point underdog against a 4-win team. Who do we see going off for Atlanta, if anybody? Because, like, last week, that game, Cardinals-Lions, there was just no offense. So will Atlanta change that?
They have the firepower too. But Matt Ryan has kind of been meh this year.
He's been good in fantasy, but yeah, overall he hasn't been good.
Yeah, so I would say though that they have a chance to put points up. It's just a matter of can you find the end zone, and that would help out. I think though that if you've got Julio Jones, that's obviously no doubter. If you have Calvin Ridley, I would still play him. If you have Matt Ryan,
you know the one
text
guy.
Text us at 550-550.
The one guy I would stay away from is Tevin Coleman. He hasn't had over 10 carries in 5 weeks.
And what a fall it has been for him.
Ito Smith has gotten more and more involved in the offense. Now, there is an injury concern there. Smith is questionable for today's game. I have not seen whether he's playing, if he's been on one of those news drops from Schefter or Rapport. But he's got a knee and a neck injury. He's questionable. So if he were to not play, then I'd love Coleman today. But if Ito Smith does go, then I would probably try to stay away from him in lineups. Oakland at Cincinnati, a 3-point favorite out of the Bengals. Jeff Driscoll versus Derek Carr. I mean, these two defenses are terrible, but the teams are terrible in general. So what do we get here? Do we get a lot of offense because the defenses stink? Or do we get not a lot of scoring just because they're not very good teams?
I'm going to guess it's somewhere in the middle. It's just going to be like one of those sloppy 21-17 kind of games.
46-point over-under.
Yeah, something like that.
The only must-start, I would say, in this entire matchup is probably Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He is a great matchup.
He does.
Jeff Driscoll. Tennessee at the New York Giants. The Titans favored by 1 on the road. Those pesky Titans. 43-point over-under. Marcus Mariota was limited, of course, throughout practice this week, but he'll be playing on the other side of the ball. No Odell Beckham again.
Yeah, it's rough.
This guy, man.
This guy, well, I mean, it's
killing
a bad...
Me.
It's
He's
a bad,
killing me.
Yeah, how dare he get
He's
injured playing football?
Killing
how
me.
How dare he?
How he got injured, though? So stupid.
Yeah.
An Eagles linebacker trips him with his ankle or his knee.
Well, then don't blame Beckham for that.
No, I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying that injury is killing me in my one league, and it's because an Eagles linebacker illegally tackled him.
Yep. Eagles cannot be trusted.
They can't. Sterling Shepard. Wide receiver 2?
Yeah,
without Beckham.
It. Yeah.
You'll allow it?
I'll allow it.
Sterling Shepard or Corey Davis. Same matchup.
Shepard.
Same game.
Shepard.
Shepard? I think I'd agree. It's close, but
yeah,
I think
I was
going to
say, drop your love for Corey Davis in this for a moment.
Yeah, I would. I'm off Corey Davis. I've actually traded him in all three leagues that I was in with him. So, Miami at Minnesota. The Vikings are favored by 7.5. It's a 45-point over-under. Does Kirk Cousins rebound? Because the game is not primetime.
It's not primetime, but it is a winning team. A team with a winning record.
They're a fake winning team, though.
I know
on,
they are. That's
Dolphins.
The thing. Yeah, it's
get
the
out
thing.
Of here.
I think he can rebound
get
here,
the
but
Dolphins
I wouldn't.
Out of here.
I would probably still start Josh Allen over him.
Ooh, that's interesting. I would go Cousins, but I
if,
don't
if
love
Sal
it.
Comes to me with the same question this week,
I don't love
I would
it.
Answer it the same way.
Miami's defense, I don't think they're very good. I think I would go Cousins. But I can accept an argument for Allen. Washington at Jacksonville. The Jags are favored by 7.5. This is an NFL game featuring Josh Johnson and Cody Kessler.
Get hype.
36.5 point over under.
Which
that
is justified.
A low number.
Which is justified.
Is there anybody that can be played in this matchup? If you have Fournette, you're probably not
Fournette
in your fantasy.
Fournette or Peterson.
You're probably not playing a meaningful game if you have Fournette, though.
I mean, you could be.
It'd be. You must have really hit on something else if you drafted Fournette in the first round and made the playoffs.
Oh, if you... Yeah, if you drafted him. But still, I think Fournette and Peterson are the only ones I would consider.
Yeah, Washington, don't play anybody.
Yes, your 5-point, your sub 5-point guarantee for Adrian Peterson.
I'd be okay with starting Vernon Davis. Jordan Reed's out. Vernon Davis always gives you production when Jordan Reed misses. And I think that Josh Johnson's going to be throwing some short passes, so the tight end could get that. Dallas at Indianapolis. The Colts are favored by 3 in this one. We had a Marlon Mack question earlier. Zeke Elliott, you're obviously starting him. T.Y. Hilton is the name to watch.
Game time decision.
He's a game time decision.
On them inactives.
Make sure you have some options to play if you can't go with Hilton. I've got Golden Tate. Like, just make sure you've got something like that. Seattle at San Francisco. That's the 4 o'clock game. The Seahawks favored by 3.5. That's it. Only 3.5 at the 49ers. Matt Breida is questionable for this game. I think if I saw Schefter, he's expected to play, though. That dude always plays through every injury.
Yeah.
Although I would not start him. He could leave the game at any point.
That's true, yeah.
I wouldn't trust it. On the Seattle side of the ball, if you had to pick one running back, who would it be? Probably Carson. It's been that for the majority of the season, but it's been back and forth. Big game, New England at Pittsburgh. Steelers need this win. New England's favored by 2 on the road. No James Conner. According to Ian Rappaport, James Conner will not play today. So, Jalen Samuels, is he an RB1? Top 12 this
week?
Yes. So you don't believe in the Stephen Ridley revenge game?
No, I just don't believe in the Patriots defense.
How about this one, guys? You know how he has tight end eligibility?
Only in Yahoo.
Wait, Yahoo, that's right. Well,
that's awesome.
My brother's in a position where he has to either play him or Gronk.
Definitely Gronk. Oh, wait, no. If he's tight end eligibility, no, I'm going Samuels.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, I'm looking at
Samuels.
You weird there.
No, yeah, I'm going Samuels, definitely.
Me not talking was me judging you.
Eagles at the Rams. The Rams are favored by 13. This is Sunday Night Football.
This is Sunday Night Football.
Tonight on WGR, it is the Eagles at the Rams. At 8 p.m., coverage will start. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices in the state. Shop Outlet Liquor and by Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. If you have to play one Eagles running back, it is?
None of them.
That's not the answer.
No, that is my answer.
You can't do that.
If
how about this? I'll give you my answer and you tell me what you think of it.
Okay.
Josh Adams.
Fine, but if you're asking me that question, I'm saying I'll take third place. I'll see you later. I'd rather do that than just, you know.
Adams has actually run the ball decently well.
I'll just play for the third place game if you're making me start an Eagles running back. Because that's what you're making me do at that point.
Fair enough. And then Monday Night Football tomorrow. Saints at Panthers.
That could be fun.
Traquan Smith with 2 back-to-back goose eggs with this guy. But he's probably been dropped in your league, and if you're desperate for a guy whom you might need to put in a lineup if T.Y. Hilton's not playing, like, you could do worse than Traquan Smith, even though, he's got 0 points in his last 2 weeks.
Traquan Smith or Robert Foster?
Foster.
Mm.
But I think Smith has a higher ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, that offense, like, he could very easily go 10 for 200.
Or just, like, a pair of touchdowns.
Yeah,
just...
absolutely. But Foster, to me, is more of a sure thing, and he's also got that ceiling. All right, we will go... why can't I talk? What are we going to do next?
We got rapid fire next.
Hey. But before we do that, we want to let you know that Sal Capaccio, all season long, has been on Facebook. Goes behind the scenes on Bills Game Day with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on the WGR Facebook page. It's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Rapid fire next here on WGR.
Rapid fire.
Before we get to your fantasy questions, we want to let you know that for every field goal scored by Buffalo this football season, Liberty Cab will make a donation to the Family Justice Center. Since 2006, the Family Justice Center has been providing a safe place for the victims and children of domestic violence, holding offenders accountable with the goal of giving victims options to take back control of their lives. Visit fjcsafe.org and share our goal to protect our community from domestic violence. Liberty Cab, passionate about protecting our community. Quickly, weather at the stadium in Orchard Park.
Weather at Orchard Park is going to be around 38 for kickoff. Rain should clear up, so clear skies, decent temperature for a December game. This weather brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision.
What do we got fantasy question
wise? We've got some Destinies and Championship games to set up here, Joe. Jalen Samuels or Jared Cook?
Jalen Samuels, easy.
All right, then. Let's see here. Ooh, this is a toughie. Cook or Michelle at running back?
I'd go Cook. Michelle's been bad since Burkhead got back.
Yeah, thanks, Rex Burkhead.
Cook's been actually decent.
All right.
Last 3 weeks.
Jalen Samuels or Matt Breida?
Samuels, definitely.
All right.
Play this Samuels if you have him. Play him.
Play him.
Get him
if
in
you
your lineup.
Luck or Roethlisberger?
I'd go Luck, I don't know why.
I'm going to lean Roethlisberger because they are at home.
I'll say Luck. I think both should be top five this week, though.
Corey Davis, Josh Reynolds, or Jordy Nelson?
Davis.
All right, and time for the most obscure question that I got on here. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, or Nick Mullins?
Getting Mullins out of here.
I know, right?
He's put up some weird stat days, but I'd go Rodgers.
Yeah, I'd go Rodgers. He makes Chicago miserable.
Yeah, play Rodgers, even though the defense is great. But did you see week one?
Yeah. Dude, my knee!
That's it?
Oh, one more. Jared Goff or Josh Allen?
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
Yeah, I don't need to force Allen into my lineup, but if I have an opportunity, it's fine. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Jeremy White with Bills Game Day up next here on WGR.